This is Gail Fairfield, Symbolism of the Tarot, February
17, 1986. Oh, great. Wonderful. Well, I get the whole range of you to speak with and to them. First of all, I want to say that as I'm going along, feel free to interrupt and ask questions and, you know, tell me if something I'm saying doesn't make sense to you, whatever. It's real important to me that it communicate, not just that I say it, but that you get it on the other end. The tarot is 78 cards. It's a deck made up of 78 cards. And those 78 cards are divided into two sections called the major and the minor arcana. The major arcana is 22 cards and the minor arcana is 56. And the 22 major arcana cards are usually the cards that are dealt with when you're looking at symbolism and dealing with a personal growth process. A lot of people see the major cards going from 0 up to 21 as being the process of the individual as he or she evolves. So tonight I thought I would look at the minor arcana, which is a whole different set of symbols. And to me it's just as powerful, but in a different way. And also there's a matrix that can be used to understand the minor arcana in terms of interpretation at the real core symbolic level that I think you'll find it easy to pick up whether you've worked with the cards before or not. So that's the order of the evening. So the minor arcana cards are divided into four suits, just like a playing card deck, okay? Except instead of hearts and spades and clubs, we have wands and cups and swords and pentacles. Those are the names of the four suits. And each suit, just like a deck of cards, goes from ace to king. So you have ace, two, three, four. But when you get up to the face cards in a regular playing card deck, in the tarot deck you have, instead of jack, queen, king, you have page, knight, queen, king. So there are 13 cards in a suit. Okay? So that's the basic framework of the minor arcana. Four suits, ace to king. So what I want to talk about here is that each suit has its basic meaning, and each number has its basic meaning. So you can see that if you put together an ace, which has aceness about it, with wands, which has wandsness about it, and you correlate those two, it makes sense. Okay. On the other hand, if you go to a five of cups, then you take fiveness and cupsness and put those two together. So you end up with a matrix of the four suits and then a cross, ace through king. So what I want to talk about, and I will be, is what those nesses are about. So let's start with the four suits. I think this is going to be familiar to you from the Jungian background. The suit of wands is about the essence of self. Some people go with that into the spirit, that side of self. You can also go into personality, who I am, who's my persona, what's my persona, how do I come across to other people, what's my identity, how do I project who I am into the world. Okay, so it's the selfness suit. So any of the wands cards, ace through king, is going to have to do somehow with selfness and the growth of the identity, the growth of knowing who the self is, either in the world or personally. Okay, so that's the first suit. The second suit is cups, and that suit is about emotion, about feeling, about, here I am touching my stomach, it's about the gut stuff. It's about relating with people because that comes from our emotions. It's also about intuition because that comes from feeling. So all of those watery, mushy things are associated with the suit of cups. I just said watery, and I realized that there's an association with the elements that I didn't mention with wands. There are four elements that you may have heard of: fire, earth, air, and water. And wands, the self suit, is associated with fire, the spark of life. You know, ha, here I am, I'm alive, and awareness of selfness, which goes with fire. Cups, on the other hand, is water, much more fluid, feeling, emotional. Okay? And the third suit is swords, and that's the air suit. It has to do with the mind and the intellect, how I think, how I communicate what I think, what I believe, the constructs of my mind as they come together to form some kind of philosophy, some truth, and then how I act that out in the world in terms of, it could get as mundane as the day-to-day schedule of my routine, okay? So everything about swords is going to be what I think, how I communicate, and how I act out what I think is true. Now, there's a dilemma in the history of the tarot, and that is that The suit of swords has been seen frequently as strife, and because of the swords. And it never made sense to me, because I would go wand, self, cups, emotion, pentacles, practical material things, swords, bad. You know, it doesn't fit with the other three. And then when I applied it to the elements and went fire, water, air, earth, I thought, well, why should air be bad? Why should the intellect all of a sudden become this negative thing? So the only thing that makes sense of it for me is that certainly people fight over their ideas, they fight over their philosophy, they fight over their truth. But also you can think of the swords as being like the mind, cleanly slicing through, and like our communication, which isn't amorphous like our feelings. You know, we have specific words with specific meanings. There's a brand new deck out called the Voyager Tarot, which is a really dynamic tarot. I don't have it in the slides because it's too new. And Jim Wanless is a friend of mine who created this deck. He's done a really wonderful thing in turning the Suit of Swords into crystals. And to me, crystals are really a perfect thing of the mind and of the intellect. So I think that's been a really nice transition, and it's pretty much a major evolution in the history of tarot. Here, for example, you can't see it very well, but there's a seven of crystals, etc. So there is being some transition in the world of tarot around that suit. But if you read some of the more traditional tarot books, you'll find everything's going along, la la la, and this is nice, and all of a sudden, swords. Ugh. And I've had people come in for readings and go, oh, I don't want to get any swords, you know. And it's just important to remember that all it is the intellect suit, the mental suit. Okay, the fourth suit is pentacles, the earth suit. And that has to do with the practical, material, physical, concrete kind of world and how we operate within that world. And as that, it's house, money, car. It's also sexuality in terms of the body level, whereas cups would be the emotional connection with somebody. See the difference? Okay, so the physical is everything that's physical would be the suit of pentacles. So those are the kind of four realms of life, the four departments of life represented by those four suits. Then you get to be in different levels of evolvement or growth or understanding or experience, depending if you're at ace or two or three or five or, you know, whatever you're at. So any questions about just those four suits and those basic concepts? Yeah?
I can't understand the word you're using for the fourth.
Pentacles. P-E-N-T-A-C-L-E-S. And the symbol for it is a circle, and we'll be seeing them, so in a minute you'll get to see what they look like. It's a circle with a pentagram in it. It looks like a coin.
The first one was
wands.
Like a wand?
Like a stick or a magic wand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay? Anything else about those four that's not clear for anybody? Okay? Yeah? Oh, okay. This is a good question, and I'll do it. The four suits have slightly different meanings on whether the cards are upright or upside down. Okay, if the card is upright, it's the more public part of the card. It has to do with the outer experience. It's more objective. It's more conscious. It's more observable by other people. So with the suit of wands, the upright is the public persona, okay, how you present yourself. The reverse is your self-image, and so that's more the inner self, okay? So there is a little bit, there is a difference, and they're both in the suit of wands. With cups, the upright is like publicly acknowledged relationships, emotions as they flow between people, emotions that have been named, feeling as it's expressed openly. The reverse cups go more to secret relationships, private feelings, maybe feelings you're choosing not to share. They can go to more intuitive or psychic even kinds of things with the reverse cup. So it's the inner feeling. Okay? Swords upright is communicating out in the world, actually writing a letter, talking to someone, your schedule, your calendar, the routine of your life as it represents what you believe to be important. When I got that, you know, I thought, how interesting. What I do with my time, hour by hour, shows what I think is important. Sure made me revamp my schedule. It was really interesting. And then the reversal is the beliefs and attitudes and the opinions that come behind that. So what you have to think is true inside in order to say that thing on the outside. Okay? Then with pentacles, the upright has to do with the measurable things, you know, the body, health, car, house, physical things that you can, money, all that stuff. The reversal has to do more with groundedness, feeling here, you know, 2 feet on the ground, I'm in my body, it's okay to be, it's safe to be in the earth. And so there's a sense with reverse pentacles of safety, of groundedness, of being on the planet, of being in your body. It's a different kind of physicality, and it's a different level of security. Good question. Yeah.
There was a second question.
Sure.
I like that one. With cups, you refer to feeling, emotion, feeling, you refer to intuition. And in Union terms, feeling and intuition are different.
Different. Intuition would be more the reversal, and the emotion and feeling is more the upright. Yeah, and they are different. And for me, just from my own experience anyway, there's a lot of same sourceness about them because they both come from kind of that well that's not as definable as the intellect or the physical world. So that's why I have them in the same suit. And, you know, it's not the last word. One of the things that I found frustrating when I was first reading tarot books was that there was no correlation. You know, you could have a card in Swords that was about relationships and another card in Pentacles, and it was like, here are these four wonderful suits. You know, there's got to be a reason why they're there, and it was just a mishmash of interpretations that seemed unrelated. So I did a lot of just thinking about it and a lot of dreaming about it, actually, and waking up in the morning going, oh, that's what that's about. So what I came up with is certainly personalized to my experience and to what felt true for me, and that's really all it is. You know, it's not the end of the world. So anybody who wants to reinterpret and redefine, please do it. Because I think ultimately that's really what the tarot is about, is each of our own interpretations of those 78 cards. It's just like a dream. I could say snakes always mean such and so in dreams, and you all know that's bullshit. That really snakes mean whatever they mean to that individual person. And there may be some core sort of collective conscious meaning to certain kinds of symbols, which is true in the tarot too. And ultimately, if it's not useful to that person, doesn't make sense to that person, so what? So as with anything I'm saying tonight, this is just what makes sense for me. And if something else is true for you, then do that, because that's what'll work. Great. Any other questions about the four suits? Okay. I'm going to start by, then I'm going to go through the numbers. And I'm going to start with aceness. And while we do the aces, I'll show you some of the images here so that you start to get a feel for the pictures that go with them. So, the major cards?
Yeah.
No, they're not a fifth suit. They seem to be, at least to me, 22 cards that each have their own meaning. And there are probably a million different ways to sort them. Every tarot book that you read will go, oh, it's this way, or three groups of seven plus the fool, or seven groups of three, and lots of ways of organizing those major cards. What feels right to me is that each card has its own meaning. Each card is about a major universal life theme, okay, a lesson, or if you will, or a teaching or a learning. And some people get lesson one and then jump to lesson 15 and then do lesson four, you know, depending on their life and when it's appropriate for them to do different things. So it doesn't, the major cards don't have the same sense of sequentialness and matrixness about them. They just are those 22 things. And they're really well developed in most tarot books, which is why I wanted to talk about the minor cards tonight, because that's not usually addressed in books. Great. Any other questions? Okay. So we start with aceness, which is the one level. And that's the level of just it is. Something exists. It's a potential. It's a possibility, like a seed. Okay. It's not grown into anything yet. It hasn't manifested into anything yet. It just is a little seed that now exists. And it could get watered or it could die. Doesn't necessarily mean because the seed exists that anything is going to come of it. So it's the beginning. I think of it geometrically as a point, just a point in space. And what's interesting about the aces is that usually they're shown, well, the traditional image is like here, everybody see, with a hand coming out from the sky just holding one thing. Okay, so it's just kind of like out there in space, that thing, one of it. Now, this particular set of cards is just a bunch of different tarot decks, and it's the Ace of Wands of all of those different tarot decks. Okay? So this isn't one deck. It's one, two, three, however many there are there. So you can see that the images are fairly similar. We frequently get the hand with the thing being held. I hope you can see them. It's not totally clear, but at least you get an idea. There are a couple of interesting ones. The Mother Peace deck, which is a fairly new and very exciting deck, shows a little baby hatching out of an egg, which I find that image to be really exciting. Generally, wands have some kind of stick, and usually it's starting to flower, just starting to bud, or a couple of leaves coming out of it. And the idea being the growth of the self as it's emerging. Okay? So here we have Aceness, which is initiation, beginning, conception. Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you. Great. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you. So we have Aceness, which is that beginning sense, the potential, the possibility of something happening. If we combine that with Wands, which would be upright, say, would be the possibility of a new persona or a new self, a new public image. Okay. Then if you were asking the question, what's going on with, why did I meet this person today or something like that, and you get the Ace of Wands, the answer would be, this represents the seed or the potential for you to have a new image or a new presentation of yourself or a new sense of yourself in the world. Okay. Now this is the Ace of Cups, so we still have Aceness, so it's still about the beginning. But Cups takes it into, at a simple level, relationships, feelings, and emotions would be the upright ones. And you can see that water is shown a lot. You know, there are a lot of the cards have drips and water all over the place. And there still is that sense with many of them of the hand coming out just holding one thing in space. I love this one because of the diving in image. It hasn't hit yet, you know. We don't know what's going to happen, but we've leaped. The potential is there. Okay, this is the Ace of Swords. So we go Aceness, beginning, Swords, new idea, new thought, new communication, new way of thinking about things, new philosophy, the possibility of that existing in the world or in your life. Ace of Pentacles, the possibility of new life physically. This is a really, I've had it come up more than once when somebody has just gotten pregnant. So it can be a very physical birth, conception, seed. Can also be the possibility of buying a house, the possibility of a new job, possibility of negatively it could be a new disease, you know, something with your body, or a new health regime. But again, with all of the aces, it's the possibility. You have the decision at that point of taking and nurturing it, choosing it, or not choosing it. Okay? Any questions about the aces? Okay. Then we get to the twos. And so if ace is the possibility, the seed, two is the affirmation and the confirmation of it, saying yes to it. Okay, it was a possibility, now I'm going to say yes. And so many, many of the twos have images of choosing, like weighing two things or, you know, making a choice, the act of making a choice. So a lot of the symbols will show that way. Otherwise, many of the symbols will simply just show two somethings, you know, two of the whatever the suit is. There are really two kinds of, two schools of thought, if you will, within the world of tarot. One is the pictorial images, like this, okay? You can see. They have little stories in them for the minor arcana cards. And the other school is one where there's just two wands or two cups or five pentacles or whatever, just the symbol is shown that many times without any little picture story. So it depends on whether you want, for me, just seeing the symbol and the number is enough because I go with, well, wandsness and two-ness and what is that together? And it brings up, you know, tons of stuff for me. That's plenty. And Sometimes it's really fun to go with the pictures too. I know with the Mother Peace deck, this round one that shows a woman imagining another woman in a pink cloud, that's really great for the Two of Wands. It's like saying, okay, this is what I've chosen to be like. This is my new persona that I'm choosing. Yeah?
The pictures that are on the cards, are they one traditional image or story? And are there other tarot cards that have other pictures on?
Good question. Yes. Most of the tarot decks that have pictures came from the Rider-Waite deck, which is this one, third row down, the one far on the, as you face it, your left, okay, way over here. That deck was produced in 1910, and it was the first tarot deck that was mass-produced for public consumption. And so it has had a large following and has been seen as, like, the tarot deck. But actually, the decks that came before the Rider-Waite deck didn't have the pictures. He was the first one. Pamela Coleman Smith did the drawings, and Arthur Waite was the conceptual person. So their deck was really the first one that had the pictures. The traditional decks, the older decks from the last several centuries, just had two wands or five cups or what have you. So then there are other people who've gone back to that tradition and said, no, this is what's really true. So from 1910 on is really when tarot decks have been printed and available for people to buy, and they've developed in those two schools ever since. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, except I wondered if there were any...
new ones.
Well, no, I wondered if there are any ancient roots to that, the picture that's on that deck.
1910.
Just pulled out of somebody's...
Arthur Waite. Yeah, and those the Marseille deck, the pictures do not, the minor arcana cards do not have pictures. They just have like three wands or four swords or whatever.
What's the oldest, most traditional one you've drawn?
The oldest one. Huh. Good question. That's two questions. What's the oldest and what's the most traditional? Probably, given the world of tarot, the Rider deck is the most traditional in that the most people know about it. It's been around the longest. The oldest deck of these... might be this one of this group. It's called... Yeah. Yeah, that's mid-1800s. No, this is the Italia. It's just of this group. I think this is the Marseille. That's pretty old, too. I have a whole other set of slides that's a historical perspective, but... Yeah. Yeah, this symbolism here in these top two, that's pretty traditional in terms of the older decks that are like 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th centuries. Those symbols were very common then. So I guess in terms of the older symbolism, that would be the kind of symbols you would see. Yeah?
They all could you stand on the other side. Those of us on this side are standing front.
Is that better? Can you all still see?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Thank you. Sure. I knew I was having trouble, but I somehow didn't come up with a solution, so thank you. Simple. Stand on the other side. Yes? It's an Egyptian motif. There's a lot of speculation in the world of tarot about where did it come from, you know, and there are people who absolutely would swear on a stack of Bibles that it's Egyptian or that it's Hebrew or that it's whatever it is. And there's really no proof of anything of where the tarot came from. It emerged in Europe in, I think it's the 15th century, and we don't really know. There are lots of little clues in the cards that say, well, it might have come from here, it might have come from there. And I kind of like having it be a mystery, personally. It doesn't really belong to any culture, it just is. Something back there? Sounds great. I'll take that one. Right. And, you know, it includes symbolism from a lot of different cultures, so it makes sense that it would be disseminated out in a lot of ways like that if you really want to get to a lot of people. Yeah?
I want to ask a question about this card. I know this one that looks like it's photographed.
Yes, this one? Yeah. B. Nettles made that, and it's called the Mountain Dream Tarot. And basically what she did was take the Rider deck and pose real people in those positions and just snap them. So it's kind of a fun deck for that reason. Okay, so Two of Wands is going to be the confirmation, affirmation saying yes to either the new sense of inner self if it's reversed, or the new external public persona if it is upright. Okay? Two of Cups then would be the choice, saying yes to a relationship, saying yes to a feeling, or reverse, saying yes to an intuition or a psychic awareness. The pledgeness of this card is real strongly shown in a lot of the decks, to people pledging to each other, saying yes to the relationship. It's not necessarily a commitment card. It's more like an engagement card. You know, it's like saying yes, but we haven't acted it out yet. It's kind of in that realm. Okay, the Two of Swords then would be saying yes to a new idea. You get the blindfolded woman a lot with the crossed swords, and sort of at that point of choosing, am I going to say yes or not? You know, am I going to go with this new concept or not? Yeah?
What are the negative connotations?
Okay, good question. My feeling of the tarot is that every card is neutral in its value. It doesn't have a negative or a positive. And the way that I get negative or positive meanings is by where they appear in the layout. So that, for example, if I've designed a layout for a particular person's question, and one of the questions is, what's blocking me right now from getting the job that I want? Okay. And I got the Two of Swords in that position, then I would say, affirming and holding on to a particular idea or way of thinking about things is now getting in your way. So this is not an appropriate way to think. Okay? And then the person will go, well, so what is it that I'm holding on to? And we'll pull another card that says, aha, this is the idea that you're sticking in your mind and holding on to that's getting in your way. Okay? So that affirming a particular thought could be to your advantage or not, depending on the situation. So in its essence, it's neutral. Okay? There are a lot of, in the traditional tarot, it's like blind choice. Okay, so that's a lot of what the blindfold was supposed to be about. Personally, I don't like the blindfold in there. So if I designed a deck, it wouldn't be there. So and it's not the traditional tarot, it's everything from the Rider deck on, actually, that has that. So it was his conception of it. The way that I take that with my students is a kind of, blindfold, not thinking of the world, just going right into the mind and sort of shutting out the external world and making the decision totally on your own mind process, just in your head. Yeah?
So the reason for that is that our statute of justice has blindfold on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that
justice
is hiding from reality.
Mm-mm, mm-mm. It's like not influenced by, but clear. There's a purity to it. Yeah. Good. Okay. So the Two of Pentacles then is going to be making the choice, saying yes to something in the practical physical world. Saying yes to a sexual interaction, for example, saying yes to buying a new car. If it were reversed, it's interesting because of the reverse pentacles being about groundedness and stability, it's frequently saying yes to being here. And, well, maybe you wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people are surprised. This group probably wouldn't be. To know that there are a lot of people who don't even agree to be here till they're in their late 20s, 30s, even 40s. Finally come around to going, oh, I'm here on the planet in a body. I guess I'll stay, you know? So, like, oh. I mean, I myself don't think I really decided to be here till maybe 30. So it's not that I was going around thinking about suicide all the time, but it was just like I hadn't really committed to being here. So a lot of times the Two of Pentacles reversed is about that, saying, I'm here and I agree to be here. But the upright is frequently much more just practical, mundane. I like this, the holding the two pinnacles, weighing them for the point of making that choice. Okay. So we get on to the threes now. Threeness is about clarity and planning. So you've had an idea or a possibility. You've said yes to it. Now you need to plan and clarify and figure it out and get all the details in place before you act. This is a step that's frequently skipped by a lot of people. myself included. So threeness is about planning and clarification, articulation, detailness before action. I think of it as the blueprints before you build the house. So Three of Wands is planning who you're going to be before you actually go out on the street and show everybody. Could be as simple as clothing, you know, figuring out what new sort of set of clothes you're going to have that's going to present this new image that you're going to have of yourself. Getting that all figured out and then wham, hitting the world with it when you get to the fours. Okay. The Three of Cups then would be planning, getting ready for relationship to commitment or action. It could also be planning what you're going to, how you're going to express an emotion. It could also just be about articulating, getting clear what the feeling is anyway. You know, it's like, I think I'm having a feeling at the Ace. Yes, I definitely am having a feeling at the Two. Oh, what is the feeling at the Three? Naming it, and then the Four will be acting on it. So, you know, if you go through the numbers one by one, they really chunk down into very small pieces our developmental process. You know, you can get some real fine distinctions of where you are. So the Three of Swords then has to do with clarifying mental concepts or ideas or communication, the rough draft before the actual letter is finished, planning what you're going to say before you say it. A lot of the Rider deck started out with the Three Swords stuck into the heart, and the idea about that, I think, is that when you're totally being clear thinking in your mind, you're not dealing with your feelings. You know, you're not being affected by your feelings, you're just being cognitive and mental. And I don't think that's necessarily true, but it is where the image comes from, as far as I'm concerned.
It's hard not to see some kind of pain, though.
No? It really is, isn't it? Yeah, that's why I prefer the suits that just have, like, three swords. Because I got a client who looks at this and goes, ah! I'm going to break up. I'm going to lose my, you know, whatever. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
What do you think of a three?
I don't know if I'm here.
Sure, yeah.
Well, it's a real high energy number.
Uh-huh. A lot of activity with it.
Holy.
Ooh, wow, that's nice. Ah, oh, that's interesting. Well, I have to... With planning and articulating. No, it doesn't. And what you'll need to do is play with it yourself and feel like which one feels right to you and or what blend feels right to you. The way the numbers came to me was through dreams and through waking up in the morning and going, oh, that's what threeness is about. So it doesn't necessarily match with numerology or with anybody else's concepts of what numbers are. So... just what I know and what seems to be true in my experience. And there are a lot of other meanings for numbers, too. What I'd encourage you to do is at least play around with the tarot with going, there must be some, all the threes must have something in common, which is not what is in traditional tarot books. You know, at least start playing with that. And whatever meaning you assign to threeness, you know, I'm not invested in that. Just think about that as an option. The other thing with the tarot is that it's a dialogue between you and your cosmic or higher self or whatever you want to call it. And if you and your cosmic self agree that the three of anything is kind of about things breaking down and not so stable, then every time you do a reading, a three will come up for that reason. Okay? Because you've made that agreement that that's why and when the three should come up. If you make the agreement with yourself that the three is going to be about planning and articulation, then when the cards are trying to tell you about planning and articulation, you'll get threes. Do you see? So it's almost like you could take the 78 cards and make up 78 meanings for yourself, agree that that's what they're going to be, and they will come up appropriately. You've agreed on that language with your inner self. So, I mean, you can get pretty wild with this and take it anywhere you want. Just something over, somebody over here. No? Okay. So, I guess as I'm presenting these things, if you've got other ideas, that's wonderful. This is just another idea. These are another idea. Set of them. Three of Pentacles then would go literally into the blueprinting, especially around a physical thing. Could be the plans for a house. One of the traditional meanings is consulting an expert, so that would be part of getting ready to act, gathering information and advice from other people. And with Pentacles, particularly around something practical, material, physical, financial, what have you. Getting ready. The way that I experience the numbers going through the suits is that the first level is of numbers, ace, two, and three, that group, is a conceptual level. It isn't manifest in the world yet. And then when we jump to four, five, and six, it's the level of manifestation, of acting it out, of making it really happen in the world so that you can see it, touch it, feel it, what have you. Okay, so we have the conceptual level, ace, two, three, and now we're moving over the hump into the manifestation level, four, five, and six. So four is, okay, you've done all the planning, you've gotten ready, you've figured it out, you've articulated it, do it. So four is making it happen. You've built the house, or you've built the chair. You've taken the job. A lot of them have, in terms of wands, we're having a new role coming on, a new presentation of the self. And acting out of the new self. So frequently it will be taking on a new, like now you're vice president, you have a new identity, a new title. Or it could be, if it's reversed, inner sense of self, starting to act on that inner sense of self, demonstrating that in the world. There's a celebration feeling to some of these picture images. It's about now, finally, we're doing it. And I've seen it come out with marriage, taking on a new name, taking on a new role in life. Okay, so we get four of cups. So cups, again, is about relating and feelings. So this could also be about commitment and making a relationship happen. That's reversed, it's more acting on your intuition, acting on your psychic ability. Whereas the upright is more acting on feelings or emotions, communicating your feelings. I like this one, taking steps. The person's kind of like crossing this little stream to get to the big ocean. Starting to take some action about feelings. Yeah? Oh, right here? Well, it's called that. I think it's PLATNIK. It's a German deck. It's like tons of tiny little dots. It's hard to see it here, but it's a real somewhat hard to find deck. This is probably about half of, no, probably less than half of my collection. Yeah?
I guess knowing nothing about tarot reading, I need to ask sort of a capsulizing question at this point.
Good.
So for you as the reader and for me as the client, tarot cards serve as sort of a prompter from which you, from which I would explore what it already is that's going on inside of me. In other words,
you can use it either way. Yeah. For a long time, the tarot was about predicting the future. It was like, what will happen? And you just pull the card. What will happen in four months from now? Oh, you'll be acting out a new identity. You'll be taking on a new role or a new name. Or what's going on with you right now? You're acting this out. Okay. Yeah. The key thing with doing any tarot reading is the question that you ask, how you ask that question. And I ask specific questions for each card. So that one card might be, where am I right now? The next card might be, what's helping me in my process around relationships? And the next one might be, what's getting in my way in my process around relationships? The next two might be, what should I do? You know, what's the advice? And then where's it going to take me? That could be a very simple little spread that you could do where you're asking very specific questions and you get one card for each of those. Yeah? There are lots of formal structures. The Celtic cross is probably the most common one. I found that to be real frustrating because it had some limitations around the kinds of questions that I was getting from people. And so I've What I do is I design a layout for each person depending on what the issue is and where their questions are. And that in my book, I've explained that whole process of designing tarot layouts. It's still really fun to do the traditional spreads, too. So there's, you know, they have a lot of value to them. It's just got constrictive to me, and I couldn't quite hold myself into that pattern. So I design layouts.
Can you speak of the upright and the reverse? Mm-hmm.
Right? You shuffled it, and when you pulled it out and turned it over, it was upside down. Yeah. Uh-huh.
How do you recognize the card? What's the board? Is there something on it that tells you the name?
Yeah, okay. First of all, there will be usually the appropriate number of that thing. So you know this is swords because there are swords in the picture. And there will be four of them if it's the four. Most of the time, there will be the number also. Like number four or the Roman numeral four. So, and then after a while you just know them. You know what the pictures are. But basically it's counting. One, two, three, four. Four swords. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
How do you manipulate
the cards? I shuffle them, I cut them, I stir them around on the table. Whatever feels inspiring to me at the moment.
So you do it as opposed to your client?
Oh, I do it first and then they do it. I like them to be the last one so that it's just the way they want it. And I, you know, tarot cards are kind of big. And so a lot of people aren't used to shuffling cards that are that big. So I'm really encouraging people to do whatever they want to get them mixed up. And one favorite thing is to stir them around on the table and then pat them into shape. A lot of tarot books that you read will go, you know, shuffle it three times and then cut twice to the left and stand on your head and whatever. And I shouldn't make fun of it because there is also real validity to certain rituals as a tuning in process. Okay, so that if a ritual process is important to you or to me as a way of centering and getting tuned into the reading, then it's really important to do. And people come up with their own. My personal ritual is that after I've laid the cards out for a particular reading, I like to take the rest of the cards and stick them back in the box. Now, don't ask me why I do that. It's just I don't feel like I'm ready to start until I've done that. So that's my little ritual. I have a really close friend whose ritual is that she holds the rest of them in her hand. Okay, that's her little thing that she does. And then there are people who will shuffle them a certain number of times or cut them to the left or to the right or have particular patterns that way. And that's just personal preference patterns.
Mm-hmm. Back to the upside down, is relative to the person who's doing the reading or the client?
Good question. I usually sit next to my client. So this solves the problem. They're facing the same way for both of us. If I were not, I would make it relative to me doing the reading, just because that's how I'm looking at it. But you could do it the other way. The important thing is that you just decide ahead, you know? You don't just kind of in the middle look at it and go, oh, I don't want that one to be reversed, so I think I'll come over here and read it that way. You know? You just decide ahead of time which way it's going to be, and the universe is very flexible. You know, there's a lot of agreement out there. They're willing to make it happen whatever way you need it to happen. Yeah?
When you mentioned this idea of reverseness.
Of the whatness?
Of the reverse.
Yes.
Down,
yes.
And you said that would be relevant to you,
uh-huh.
The reader.
Yes.
What about if the person that has come to you that is asking these questions, shouldn't that be, and they shuffle the deck, shouldn't that be relevant?
It is relevant to them. What he meant was, relative to me, do I interpret it as being upside down or right side up? As it's facing me. I look at it and I go, oh, that's upside down or right side up. Yeah, but I still interpret it according to them. It's not about me. It's their reading. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh. But that's why I sit next to them, so that I don't get into that problem. It's facing the same way for both of us.
The sword one there, mm-hmm. The second row, how would you say upside down on that one?
Like here?
Yeah.
It's very hard to tell with some suits, with some decks. Sometimes you can tell because the picture on the back shows which way it is. Some students that have chosen a deck like this will go and they'll just put a little dot on the bottom of all of them so that they'll know. Most of the decks you can tell. You know, most of the decks have the number either at the bottom or the top, and so you can tell by the number. But there are a few that it is difficult to tell. Mm-hmm. Okay, she asked if I ever read for myself, and I certainly do. daily. I use the tarot. I'm fairly irreverent in my use of the tarot. I mean, on one level, I think it's magnificent. It's an incredible tool, and it's wonderful. And on another level, if it's not useful, why bother? You know. So I like to use it on a lot of different levels. And sometimes it'll be a reading that's real profound. It's about my spiritual growth, and it's about where am I headed, and what's my life purpose, and those kinds of questions. And other times it's just about, do I want to have chicken or tofu for dinner, you know? What's going to make me feel better? What's going to be the result there? So it's sometimes very mundane, everyday kinds of questions. It's the way I do it. Now, I have a friend who gets four readings a year at the solstices and the equinoxes. It's very important to him that he only ever gets those four readings, and that's his little hit for the next 3 months. And, you know, that's what he does. So, again, it's a personal choice kind of thing. Now, there are times when I'm very, very emotionally invested in an issue when it's hard for me to do a reading for myself. Well, I feel like I'm making it up. You know, I'm making it say what I want it to say. And on one level, I am. At least I discover what it is that I want by doing that. But, oh, this is how I want it to come out, you know. So if I'm really invested emotionally, then I go and have a friend do it. You know, if I just feel like I'm not going to get any clarity about this. But I would say 90%, maybe 95% of the time, I don't have any trouble doing it for myself. And to me, that's its most useful purpose, is that, I mean, I always have a deck with me, you know, everywhere. I went with friends in the fall to Mount Rainier, and we were wanting to stop at a restaurant on the way back, and we drove into town, and there are like four restaurants, and it was a little town none of us had ever been to, and it's like, well, which one should we go to? And I just pulled four cards, and I went, well, that one is overpriced, this one is, you know, and we decided which one would be the, whatever, and it can be a lot of fun in that way. Giving away all my secrets here. Yeah.
But I spent some time in Scotland studying with a man who does uses a dowsing instrument. His is a pendulum.
Sure.
And he was, I studied with him, and his way of teaching it was the pendulum was that we have tremendous knowledge. So how do we have a language for that knowledge?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Right. It's just a tool. That's right. It's just a tool. And it's a tool. You know what I mean? It's just a tool and it's a tool. It's exciting.
Yeah.
So it has both levels of meaning. It's very mundane and it's very, very exciting at the same time. Okay. So the Four of Swords then would be about acting out your philosophy, your beliefs, what have you. Now this gets confusing. Always with the swords, I run into trouble. Anyway, the person laying down, how is this about action? Well, the negative side of the swords is it has to do with having acted it out. You think this is the way, and you hang on tight to what you've manifested. Because the level, when we get to the fives is about adjustment and change. So the four is kind of like has a little sequence to it, where at the beginning you make it happen. Isn't this exciting? I've built this chair, or I've created this relationship, or whatever. But you spend so much time kind of getting ready for it with the ace, two, three, that once you manifest it, there's this real, and this is the way it is, and I'm not going to change it, feeling about it. And that's shown a lot in the Four of Pentacles, with people kind of hanging on to their coins there. So it's the level of manifestation, creating the home, creating the physical reality, in this case with pentacles. And it can also negatively be, you've created this thing, now you're holding on to it too tight, you're not allowing it to change or grow or become anything else. I have this feeling. This is probably long ago. Oh well, we'll get part of it. Okay. So the four then, you make it happen. At the five level, you get to adjust it and change it, challenge it, flex it up, do something to it because you found out it didn't quite work. With the model of building a chair, ace is I need a chair. Two is yes, I'm going to make a chair. Three is I'll draw the plans. Four is I build it. Five is I sit on it and it breaks. Something about it didn't work. So at the five level, it's like you get feedback from the world that lets you know what still needs to be adjusted, what still needs to be changed or adjusted is really the best word. Negatively, the five feels like upheaval, chaos, confusion, trauma. Positively, it's more just about fine-tuning and making necessary changes. So with the five of wands, it would be, okay, you've presented the new self, and now the new self has been challenged in some way. So it could be a challenge to your identity or a shift or an adjustment to your the role that you're playing, the way that you're projecting yourself to the world, or reverse to your internal sense of yourself. Five of Cups usually has a lot of emotion to it, and it's emotional flux, emotional change, emotional adjustment. I haven't had a lot of people who experience the Five of Cups real positively. However, it is possible. I have had people who do, and it is really about adjustment. It can be real exciting if you're in a relationship that's real stuck. The five could be just what you need. You know, it could be the thing that shows you that there's movement, there's change, something's going to happen. I'm not going to just stay in that stuck place. Five of Swords, then, is the challenge of ideas, the adjustment of your ideas, your thinking, your communication. If you've written a book, the five could be about editing it. Okay? Yeah?
The Five of Swords there, that's
the Circle Pentacles. Here? Yeah, they did put that image there. No, I don't know why she did that. Vicki Noble and Karen Vogel created that deck, and I haven't ever asked them that particular question. I will next time I see them. Do I have an association to it? To me, it's the bee in the middle that I get drawn to, and the fact that, you know, if you try to enclose a bee in a house, it starts to go nuts, and there will be nudges. There will be all of these little reminders that this is here and that something still needs to be changed or adjusted. So it's the enclosed bee that I get. Pardon me?
Quite a few of the other decks do that.
Yeah, there's one up here that has that symbol.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the name of the deck next to you?
This one?
Yeah.
It's called the Morgan Greer.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's in the Rider-Waite tradition. I mean, it has a similar images, but different drawings.
The deck, second hand on the bottom. Row.
Here? That's the Crowley deck called the T8. Crowley is the author, Aleister Crowley, and the book is the Thoth, T-H-O-T-H, or the deck.
When did that deck come out?
It actually, I think, didn't make it out until, he started to create it 1917, 1918, and didn't really get way out to the public till maybe 1930. Yeah. Okay. Five of Pentacles, then, it's going to be adjustment on the physical plane, and that can have to do with money fluctuations up or down. It can be about remodeling your house, making a move. It can be about changes in your health, for better or worse, etc. We get up to the sixth level, and it's like the adjustments have completed themselves, and the six is coming to rest. Breathe. We're now in a repetitive, predictable cycle. So the sixth level is one of feeling like you've arrived, you can count on things now, you can rely on them. In the chair motif, it's like now you've come up with a plan that you can mass produce that's going to keep working. If you sit on it, it's not going to break. Okay. So the six is a very kind of, oh, breathe, relax kind of point. It also can be very boring. So if the six comes up as a negative, like what's your problem right now, and you get a six, then that's usually about things are too boring or too predictable. Okay, so go both sides of that. So Six of Wands is, you know, you've gotten centered with your identity. You know who you are. You can count on yourself. You can, you're comfortable with the role that you're playing in the world. If you're newly a parent, a mother or a father, sometimes arriving at the Six is very nice. You finally start to know that you know what you're doing with it. Okay? Six of Cups is coming to that same place of more peacefulness or reliability or predictability with regard to relating, with regard to feelings and emotions, or reversed with more with your intuition. And there, if you just look at the sixes, they're calmer. You know, the pictures have a peacefulness to them. Even with the Six of Swords, the meaning from the writer was moving to calmer waters. You know, it just has that feeling of rhythm and peace about it. And the Six of Pentacles, also about reliability, predictability. The swords would have been about your ideas, your thoughts. Pentacles is about the physical world. It's a nice steady cash flow, regular paycheck could be there, okay? I always like this one too. The Mother Peace deck has a woman giving another woman a massage. You know, it's like reliable health. There's a centeredness that comes in with that card on the physical level that's very nice. Getting everything all in balance and in harmony. Okay, so remember that Ace 2, 3 was conceptual. 4, 5, 6 is manifestation. 7, 8, 9, then it's the level of expansion. Okay, so now you've got something and it works and you're doing it and you're doing it and you're doing it and it's keeping on working over and over again. So what? Let's expand it. Let's do more with it. Where else could we take it? So the 7 particularly is the level of variety and stimulation and activity and moving out to more options and possibilities. So it has a moreness feeling about it. So 7 of Wands is kind of like, well, who else could I be now? You know, now that I've developed this self, who else could I be? How else could I do it? Trying on different hats is a sense, trying on different kinds of selves in the world or personally. 7 is very non-committal. It doesn't have a sense of making a decision about which one you're going to stay with. It's more of a feeling of experimentation and variety. So here, the 7 of Cups is often seen as a fantasy card. It's to do with a variety of emotions or feelings. Could mean that you're in a lot of different relationships, or you're just having a lots of different feelings, or fantasies about a lot of people. Or if it's reversed, you could be having lots of intuitions, psychic insights. There's a real abundant feeling to the sevens, I always think. Seven of Swords is about the many, many ideas, and it's like you want to grab as many of them as you can, you know. You don't want to let go of anything. You want to have multiple possibilities and options available to you in terms of thoughts. This could be Swords is often associated with learning, school, because that's certainly one of the places where we train the mind. So Seven of Swords could be, which school do I want to go to? Trying on lots of different ones. Whereas back at the 2, it was choosing, I want to go to school at all, you know, deciding I want to. And this can get into the, well, which one then? And 7 of Pentacles has a lot to do with financial experimentation. It could be investing in lots of different places. It could be sexual experimentation. Could be visiting lots of different houses as you're making choices about where to move to. Several jobs. I've had people get this card who are employed in several different places. Instead of just having one job, they've got, you know, 3 or 4 part-time jobs. So it's the multiplicity energy that comes in with 7. And, that was it. Now we're on to the 8. So with the 7s, then you have been expanding, growing, trying on things. The 8, you go, okay, that's enough experimenting. Let's make some order, organization, definition, decision out of this. So the 8 has a sense of contraction. Okay, so 7 is expand, 8 is more contract. And the sense of it is then that you are putting things in order. I love these nice, neat little lines. You know, making sense out of something. So there's some choice involved with which of those things in the 7 that was all that variety, which of those things am I going to lock into or narrow down to? And it can also just have a sense of coming again to some kind of order inside. So 8 of Wands has to do with organizing yourself, organizing who you are. 8 of Cups would be organizing your feelings or your relationship. A lot of times it's a therapy card, going into therapy or being in therapy and getting your feelings in order somehow, making sense of them. Yeah? Of walking away. It's sort of like you don't have to be in the middle of it all. It's like it's in order, so you don't have to be in process every minute. Do you know what I mean? That's how I've come to interpret that thing. It's like the cups are all there, everything's in order. Good, now I can go on and do something else. I have to sit there in the middle of all my cups going...
Okay, and then we have the Eight of Swords, which is certainly constricted. This woman, not only blindfolded now, but she's tied up. The options have become very limited. We definitely have a sense of contraction going on here. And it's as though, I mean, for me the concept is that you've taken your ideas, your communication, and you've, again, put it into some more orderly form. But negatively, it could certainly be that you've constricted yourself with your own ideas, or that you're being exposed to some ideas that are limiting to you. Eight of Pentacles has to do with work and money, again, and putting that in order, making sense of that. Sometimes a regular work routine comes out of the Eight of Pentacles. Sometimes it's just a period of time where you're on a real routine around getting things done on the physical plane. It has a real industrious feeling to it. Budgeting frequently comes up with the Eight of Pentacles on the money level. Just making your budget, getting your money in order. Then we get to the Nine, and the Nine is like a combination of the Seven and Eight. So the Nine is what continuous forward flow. And it's like you expand and contract, expand and contract, expand and contract as you move through the world. And so the Nine is about being able to flow forward in a real integrated, whole kind of way with an ongoing process of expansion and contraction included right in it. So the word that I use most with people about it is flow. Things are integrated and in flow, in movement. The negative side of it, if it comes up as a problem, is that you're just in flow. You don't have an objective necessarily. You don't have a goal. You don't know where you've been or where you're going. You're just in process. So it doesn't always have milestones to measure. How far have you gotten? You're just moving along in the river. Spiritually, of course, that can be a really rewarding experience. And some people find it to be real frustrating. So, Nine of Wands has a personal integration energy to it. You know, this, I like the image of this one particularly for this card. The sense of being centered with yourself, being knowing who you are, being able to do that in the world, growing with expansions, getting more organized and centered with that, with the contractions, but being fairly well integrated. Nine of Cups would be that same kind of flow with your feelings or with your relationship. Integration of that in your own life. It's a real wonderful card to get if you're wanting to know what's the status of my relationship. Like, oh, it's in flow, it's in movement. Though I will say, I got a client once who had the Nine of Cups come up, and it was real scary for her because she'd been a person who'd really shut her feelings down a lot in her life and been real contained and rigid about them. And so it was as the bottom card, which in that reading was yourself, who you are right now. And I said, oh, it looks like you're really in flow with your feelings and they're moving. And, you know, she went, I know, and she started crying and just totally freaked out because all these feelings had been flowing, you know, after 33 years of being held in. And it was not a comfortable place for her to be, even though most of us would look like that and go, good, emotions moving. And she sort of knew it was good, but it wasn't fun for her at that particular moment in time. Then we have the Nine of Swords, which is your ideas. Again, we get the eyes closed motif a lot with the swords. But it's the integration of your mind, your concepts, your thoughts, your ideas, being whole and formed, not distracted, and moving well.
When they started doing the pictures with the writer, mm-hmm. He can't have been thinking what you're saying.
Probably not. Yeah, and no, he was coming out of his tradition at that time. He came out of the Order of the Golden Dawn, which existed for about 15 years at the end of the 19th century, and it was a bunch of kind of esoteric philosophers who formed this secret society to get the truth, you know, the truth, whatever that was. And his presentation of his deck, he was the first one out of the society to make those conclusions available to the world. And a lot of the information that the Order of the Golden Dawn came up with was colored by their sort of, they're mostly rich people who had a lot of access to learning and studying and who were, how can I put it? On one level, their view of the world was real expanded because they had a lot of head knowledge. And on another level, it was like they weren't everyday ordinary people either. So every deck that's designed comes out of the life of the person who creates and designs it. And that's the reason why I don't think there's a correct tarot deck. It's really important to look at a bunch of different decks before you buy one and find the one that matches with your view of reality and what the world is. So what's happening now, and that I think that I'm a part of, and that a lot of the newer tarot writers and deck creators are a part of, is a willingness in the last 5, 6, 10 years to kind of revamp the tarot and say, but what about today? You know, what about how we're living today? And there are people calling sacrilege. You know, there are a lot of people in the world. I heard a story about a man who was given my book as a gift who tore it up. You know, he said, this is blasphemy. This is terrible. She can't do this, you know. So I thought, well, at least it had an impact somehow, you know. But, so, pick the deck that fits for you, you know, for your, it's so important to me that you not feel like there's a right deck or a right set of interpretations. So really what I'm sharing with you tonight is just my set. And it is different than some people's. And it is certainly different than some of the traditions. Yeah?
Although I've heard you say several times it's just your deck and your personal meaning, it doesn't seem to be that way to me. Because the developmental stages of the card seem to fit in extremely well with behavior modification theory, ego-psychology,
Well, see, it works for me. I mean, I was a psych major, and it fits a lot in my worldview.
What I'm saying is that development through the stages seems to be directly in line with the cultural consciousness.
Of where we are now.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, that's how I feel, but I really don't want to limit anybody to that perspective either, because there are other parts of this culture now where people are having other kinds of experiences that are also valid. Is there something over here?
Yeah.
Oh, heavens, I don't know. Friend of a friend did a reading once, and I went, I got to do that. And that was it. Really, it was just that impulsive, compulsive, compelling for me. It grabbed. I have other friends who are real into the I Ching or something else, and that grabs them. Which deck to choose? I have about 5 or 6 decks that I commonly use in readings. And so when somebody comes in for a tarot reading, I usually give them 3 or 4 to look at. Say, if you don't like any of these, then we'll keep looking. But usually among those 3 or 4, they'll find ones they like. And they just look through them and pick the one that feels best to them. No, they're not all up here, actually. I usually give out the Mother Piece as a choice. This one I carry in my purse. Let's see. This is the Balbi. I frequently give that one out. This is called the El Gran Tarot Esoterico. the Spanish word. This is the Aquarian Tarot. I give that one out a lot as a choice. So I have the Mother Piece, the Aquarian, the Balbi.
The one next to the
Which one?
This is the Balbi. This is called the Witch's Tarot.
The left is the Balbi.
I can't remember. I'm sorry, I can't remember this one. Yeah, I can't remember the name of that. Yeah?
Can you tell me the name of the one from the very left to the down and the third off
on the left? 1, 2, 3. Yeah. The Fez Moroccan? Yeah. Great names. Yeah. There was a period of time for about 3 years when I used it almost exclusively. And, pardon me? This is the Crowley down here. Crowley, I think, is a really intense deck. It has a lot of power in it and a lot of, the images are very, very powerful and intense. Personally, I don't like Crowley as a person, and it always gets in my way when I use the deck because he was kind of weird. And so so that ended up becoming stronger to me than the deck. And that was just my problem with him. I think Frieda Harris, who actually painted the pictures, did a wonderful job, and she doesn't get enough credit. You know, it's always the Crowley deck. It should be the Crowley Harris deck. Okay. Okay, Nine of Pentacles is flow, money, cash flow. It's also about integration with your material, physical, financial world. Are we out of time?
No.
Is that? No. Oh, I used to live on Vashon, I understand. Okay. There's also an integration in terms of work and whatever it is that you do on a practical, physical level. And a sense of pulling all of that together and having it work smoothly. Okay, then we get to the 10. So it's like we've Ace, 2, 3, conceptual, 4, 5, 6, manifestation, 7, 8, 9, expansion, and then 10 is a choice point. The 10 is by itself. It's not in a group of three. It's by itself. And it's a point where you go, okay, we've done it, it's working well, it's integrated, it's flowing smoothly now. Now we have an option of either taking it on to this kind of like super level of maturity and skill and excellence, or of letting it go. So the 10 is a hesitation card, and it's kind of a sitting on the fence while you decide, do I want to really recommit to this and go on with it, or do I want to drop it? So a 10 of wands is a person, the pictures are a lot, kind of carrying those wands around, and there is a slowness to the tens. There's a feeling of, well, here I am, and I guess I'm kind of going forward, but I'm not really sure, and I'll decide later. So on a positive level, that hesitation, that waiting, that being on the horns of the dilemma or the fence-sitting kind of position could be to your advantage. Negatively, it could just be that you're avoiding, you know, that you're not making a decision, and you should be. And again, about wands, it's going to be about who you are in the world and your identity and your expression of that. With cups, it's going to be about your relationship, emotions, what have you. Ten of cups is frequently a separation card. Like, well, we're not going to get divorced yet, but let's separate for a while. Let's put it on hold. You know, we're not making the final decision one way or the other whether we're going to recommit or not, but let's just put it on hold for a while. There's a kind of like looking at, in the image here, what I go with the Rider deck is, we're looking at everything we've created, and there's a celebration to that. You know, there's a feeling of, wow, look at what we've done up to the nine, but the backs are turned, so it's kind of like, you know, is that enough? Are they seeing what comes beyond? Because the ten can get very complacent, can get very, like, just satisfied with what is, and there isn't growth in it. And the Ten of Swords, this is the first time I agree with the Swords images, can, on the negative side, can have a stuck feeling as you hesitate. Definitely a sensation here. And this is where you're, of course, stuck in your ideas, stuck in your philosophy, what's true for you, or communication, you know, on hold. It's a simple question. Should I contact this person that I'm interested in? You get the Ten of Swords. Wait, hesitate. Don't do it yet. Okay? Ten of Pentacles is going to be the same sense of hesitation or choice point about, should we go forward? Should we be satisfied with what we have here, or is there more? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could fit in there. Sure. It's like, it's complete at the nine, and then here we are going, well, now what? Yeah. Except then with the tarot, you get this other group of cards, page, knight, queen, king. So there's this whole other set afterwards. So it's kind of like after completion, after the nine, but if you decide to reinvest in the process that you're in, you get to take it to a higher level. And that's what the court cards are about. So the page is the risk-taking level. Okay, jump in, invest everything you've got in it, go for it. So maybe you were a high school star up to the nine, and at the 10 you're going, shall I go for the Olympics or shall I not? And the page, you jump. You know, it's like you climbed up the high dive, you jump. So pageness is very risk-taking, it's very exciting. It has very much to do with going over that edge and saying, you know, everything's going. I'm pouring all of my resources, all my energy, everything into it. Page of Wands then will be taking risks with your identity and with yourself. Daring to be who you are, fully, completely, publicly, if it's upright. Page of Cups would be taking risks with your emotions, perhaps daring to express them. Could be taking risks with a relationship. Could be daring to recommit to a relationship that you thought was maybe done, but saying, okay, I'm willing to go for it. You know, I'm willing to really put everything I have into trying to make this work and recommitting to it. Page of Swords, taking risks with your ideas, with communication, writing, what have you. Page of Pentacles, financial risks, career risks, home risks. And it's, when I use the word risks, what I mean by that is pouring it all into it. I don't necessarily mean risks in the sense that it's dangerous, but just that if it doesn't pay off, you know, what have you got left? You've really committed all the way. Then the Knight is the level of, now you've committed, you better work your little buns off to make it work. So the Knight is the level of intense focus. It's the most in the suits, it's the most intense level. All your energy, you know, they've got these helmets on and they're staring in one specific direction. So like all your energy is focused in one place, in one direction. There's a tremendous amount of intensity with the Knight. And with Wands, it's going to be on the self and on your own growth. You could say self-centered, okay, selfish, negatively, or you could be self-focused, self-oriented on the positive. Knight of Cups, you get to put all your energy into your relationships or your feelings. Tremendous amount of focus, a lot of work, a lot of attention there. And Knight of Swords, dun-dun-dun-dun, my truth is the right truth, is the only truth, and I'm going to proclaim it to the world, you know. So all of your energy going into what you believe to be true and communicating that. And so at a very, again, focused, it's like with a Knight, nothing else matters, you know, just driven almost, right there, nothing else matters. And then the Knight of Pentacles is that same level of intensity and focus on whatever it might happen to be, money, job, career, house, physical, material world stuff. After your focus, you focus then, your intensity, your drive pays off. So the Queen is the level of competence, maturity, I've arrived, you know, I've become the Olympic star, I've